This is Paul Lam, and you're listening to the Path Hunters Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you unleash the beast from within so you can fearlessly pursue your own path and passion. Join me on this weekly journey filled with inspiring stories and actionable content. Become a Path Hunter today. Welcome back to another episode of the Path Hunters Podcast. One thing that really annoys me the most is that whenever I'm recording all these episodes, and I just feel like I either talk too fast or I'm like stumbling over my words and everything like that. And I'm just gonna do my best to try to record in one take, and that's usually one of my personal goals and everything, because it's usually more raw and fun this way, anyways. But I hope you guys are all doing great today. Welcome back to another episode of the Path Hunters Podcast. Here today, today's guest, we had an experience, like an inspirational chat, and I loved it, and it was just amazing. We spoke a little bit afterwards as well too about just so many different things that I've learned from her, and I'm really excited for this episode. It's just because, like I said, I've learned a lot from her, and it was really cool and exciting. But before we get into this though, I want to give you guys all a quick shout out, all you Path Hunters out there, for just coming in and showing up again every week. Love you guys. It means a lot to me, and like really, really from the bottom of my heart, like, thank you so much. As I'm going through this whole entire new change and everything in my life, I'm always evolving, always learning. And for those of you who stuck around since like day one, thank you so much. And it just means a lot to me. And for all you new Path Hunters who are finding me for the first time, welcome to the Path Hunters Podcast. It is a podcast where I interview a lot of entrepreneurs, digital nomads, creators on their process, and never really about their final products, but more about their journey, their you know, times and like rough times, what they do. So much information about that, because like I said, at the end of the day, I'm trying to paint a picture for just to let you guys know that we all can do it. We all have greatness in us, and I really believe that, and you guys can get it too as well too. So anyways, we're going to get into this episode here today with Mary Shores in the house here, CEO, entrepreneur, speaker, award-winning author. She is an amazing, amazing human being, and I loved her to bits. She was actually explaining a lot about her story, her journey, and about, you know, how she turned tragedy into almost like a power outlet, and how she draws from it, and she turned into a positive, and it was just so cool just to hear her story. And then we got a little bit into a lot of like masculine energy again, and just so many different things that I'm very passionate about, and I learned a lot from Mary. It's just because like we really dove deep into this episode here today. So I won't keep you guys any longer. I'm going to introduce you guys. Listen to this episode. It's going to be amazing. I'd love to hear. I'll see you guys on the other side of this. Anyways, this is the one and only Mary Shores. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an amazing guest here today, and I was just looking at her bio, and I just really, really am so excited to have her on here today. Mary Shores is a 8-figure entrepreneur and author of Hay House and a speaker, and it's just overall an amazing, amazing human being, and I'm so proud and lucky and grateful to have the opportunity to get to speak to you here today, Mary, because there's a few things I really want to talk to you about, but I'm going to let you steer the ship a little bit to let the audience know who you are. And I totally did like that intro. That intro did not do you any justice, by the way, so I'd rather let the audience hear from you.
Yeah, sure. Well, you mentioned sort of the basics, but I guess if you really want to know who I am, it would be to understand more like where it came from. So I'm a true rags to riches story that I was out on my own at 16 and started my first business when I was 24. And I know that it's not that unusual like these days for people to start businesses that young, but this was 20 years ago and it was kind of unheard of. But I had a lot of tragedy and a lot of trauma in my background. And people seem to get really fascinated to understand how did I break free of all the obstacles and the trauma and become a success versus becoming a statistic.
I love that. And yeah, like it's a subject that I was just reading personally myself, and I was looking it up, and I really want to dive in here with you. I know sometimes that bringing it up sometimes brings up old feelings about it, but if you could just dial back before all that, something just even just like whatever is comfortable with you is okay, because I feel that most people I'll give a little context about myself, because like I personally resonate with where you're coming from, because like having a traumatic experience really, really stretches your mind and really in a way allows you to look at things in a different light, right? For me, I was held at gunpoint and really had really, really a tough time getting past this because it was so traumatic, and understanding where to go from here on out. Most people would suffer for this and go through like a really dark period, but for you, you did the opposite. You came out and became this serial entrepreneur, and it was just amazing to see that. And I just want to see and hear how the process worked for you.
Yeah, so let me tell you something that I've been understanding about trauma, because I've been really called and felt passionate to talk about trauma more on shows than I used to before. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, becoming a writer, I had to go back and revisit some of those stories from my early childhood and from my younger days. But trauma isn't necessarily about the event that happened, although it feels that way to us. Like, it's not about the moment that you were held at gunpoint. Or for me, when I was 20, I lost my first child. She had brain damage that was left her blind, left her deaf. She was unable to swallow. She was fed through a surgical tube in her stomach, and just like living for almost 2 years within the walls of a children's hospital allows you, just kind of like what we were talking about before the show, but you see things that you can never ever unsee again.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even just the trauma. Wasn't even just the trauma that I was going through watching my own child suffer and being taken away from like my life, the things that I loved, going to school or working or whatever it was, but it was like seeing little children with cancer who, you know, just are suffering, seeing the children in the burn units who, I mean, it's unspeakable to a degree. But see, trauma isn't about that. Trauma is about the impact that it's having in your present day.
Yes.
And so when we talk about like overcoming that, it really lies in your ability that it's not impacting you on the present day. And I would assert that that's a journey. I love that the name of your show is Path Hunters, because like I consider it a journey, and like my journey has not been a graceful one. It's been super uncomfortable, and like I'm a resilient person, and I've developed a character that's full of this resilience that also happens to translate to becoming successful. So, you know, every time I had to overcome yet another trauma, yet another tragedy, it's like it built this resilience muscle in me, and that going full circle has created this person that, although I might not see it from the outside looking in, it's like, wow, you know, she's a best-selling author and she has this business and she does this and she does that. Well, that's all great, but it doesn't mean that you're still not still growing, or you're still not on your path, and you're not elevating yourself. Because I think that for me, having that foundation is also what led me to be what I call like a seeker.
I love that. You know, I really, really love touching the subject a little bit, because like, you know, I too have suffered, like, so for whatever reason, when you come close to life and death, you start evaluating things a little differently, right? And you're right, like it does impact you even today. I bet you at times, like on the outside of it for you, Mary, it's probably, yeah, this is great and all, but I bet you 100% you would trade it all for just going about a little different, like having it end up a little bit differently. Because for me, I had an ex-girlfriend that really didn't want to keep our baby. She wanted to get an abortion, and for me, it was dealing with like I'm, you know, on my side, it happened. And to me, it was like a life that could have been, and that even still affects me today. And I could only imagine what you're going through today, because I bet you at times where you're alone in your thoughts, you're just thinking about it. Is this something that you can agree on, or?
Yeah. And I think it's really an interesting concept, like, because it's what is impacting you now. So when your thoughts, because it doesn't matter what the event is, right? It's the impact.
Yeah.
And so I'm just even hearing you say that because this is still on your mind. So this has an impact. And I'm sure that it's a spectrum of things, whether it be guilt, whether it be like, oh, you know, what if I, you know, what did I do wrong to cause this?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times I'll find leaders, especially like spiritual leaders, they'll talk about this concept of alignment. Have you ever heard of that?
All the time.
All the time, right? But have you ever noticed that, okay, we talk about alignment, but does anybody really know what it means?
No. Like, it's usually okay. The same thing from what
exactly.
Yeah.
It's one of these buzzwords that, like, okay, let's talk about alignment. So I'm going to tell you what I think alignment means, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper.
Okay.
All right. So when I used to be driven nuts because I would hear these people say alignment, and I would literally be like, what the heck? That is so dumb. And then I thought, wait a second, there's something here and I need to figure it out. So I developed my own definition of alignment, which was very simple. It was, you need to get your thoughts, your words, your actions, your choices, your feelings, like all moving in the same direction as the thing you want. Mm. And it's like, okay, great. Now we have like a simple concept of what alignment means. It means, yeah, I need to think, feel, speak, and do all going in the same direction, right? Now, that sounds really simple, but I will tell you, Paul, when you try to control your thoughts, it gets difficult, because I tried that and I failed. But this is now, like, let's take it a little bit deeper. You can't be in alignment if you're holding on to that. Because part of alignment is that feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this, what I have been talking about, especially lately, is this feeling of empowerment and whatever you want to create in your life. And I really want the audience to hear me because this is so important what I'm about to say, especially for this younger generation, because you have so much power. You have no idea how powerful you are. And like, empowerment is the key. Empowerment meaning that you understand something, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, inside, outside, backwards and forwards. And you like see the outcome, or you can feel the outcome, or you know the outcome, and you know like the strategy it's going to take to get you there. Or maybe you just know the first step, but you believe in it so much. That's this feeling of empowerment. And when you are in a state of being of empowerment, what happens is everything you create or manifest, if you like that word, is going to be stronger, faster, better. It's going to be longer lasting, and most importantly, it's going to be more impactful. Now, go ahead.
No. I was just listening. I love it so far, by the way, because like, I agree with you. There's so many different terms for this. People can label it whatever it is, but for me, it's very similar to yours. For me, I always tell people, like, how do you get motivated? I care a lot about my health, a lot of different, you know, departments in my life. And I always say, look at the resolve, like have a resolve, because motivation does fade out. It's similar to yours as well, to making sure that everything lines and your resolution going towards that direction, towards your goal is super, super important.
Right. Because motivation is great for a moment. Yes. And, you know, it's sort of motivation is great mind food, right? But it really kind of stops there.
Yeah.
Right. But let's talk about disempowerment.
Let's do it.
So because the part of the thing that I'm hearing a lot too is like, we should be positive thinkers all the time. And that's crap, because you are not going to solve your problems by positive thinking. And I am not against positive thinking. Okay. It's just that we have taken it to such an extreme that there's this bullying going on, that if you had any negative thoughts at all, you are like the cause of all your problems because you thought negatively.
That's so true.
And I know. And it like needs to stop, because let me tell you something. If you don't allow yourself to process the emotions that you have, then you are repressing those emotions. And those emotions that you're repressing are going to cause illness, and you're going to just not feel good. And when you don't feel good, you're in a state of disempowerment. Okay. And this is where that spectrum is on the other side of the coin. Like, if I were to ask somebody, and actually I just asked myself this question 3 weeks ago, how well do you feel on a scale of 1 to 20? So my answer that particular day was a 7. And I had to say, okay, 7, that's a disempowered state. So the problem is not that I'm disempowered. But what needs to happen is that when I am feeling disempowered, when I'm at that seven, what I need to do is not create anything. When you're not feeling good, the only thing you have to do is step back and say, I don't have to create anything right now. My job is to close my circle in. My job is to have self-care. Now, that's another big word that means a lot of things. So let's just make it a simple meaning of self-care just means take space for me.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Like, Mary, it's only been like 16 minutes and or 15 minutes and you're dropping value bombs left and right. I love this conversation where it's heading towards right now. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because I love this topic, but I kind of want to dial back a little bit because, like, in today's world, we see a lot of single moms, single dads sometimes, but a lot of like single women who are just like, you know, have children and stuff like that. They're working two jobs, and I really want to hear your thoughts on empowerment in that perspective, on empowering these kind of women to go towards achieving their goals, because like, how would you even want to do that, right? Because like, to them, I speak to a lot of single moms at my local gym and stuff, and whoever I have the chance to, and they always say that, you know, they feel trapped, they don't feel empowered, they always deal with like that guy that was always crappy to them, and they're raising two kids, and this is like a real life everyday example, right? Like, how would you empower someone like that?
Yeah, well, that's my story, Paul. So I'm a single mom. And not only am I a single mom, but we were completely abandoned by my ex-husband. And he just stepped out of the picture. He changed his mind. He just didn't want to be a family anymore. And it left me with two children, but one of them is special needs because my older son is on the spectrum, meaning he's diagnosed with autism. And so here I was left on my own to like raise these two kids who are only a year apart. They lost their father, which means they're devastated. I mean, they're traumatized just by going through that. And they continue to be like, have like, you know, issues come up because of that. But like, empowerment comes from within. It does not come from your circumstances. But yes. See, we don't understand that because we've been taught that it comes from our circumstances. And so when you are like the times, like I was just saying, so the times when I'm like a seven, on that frequency scale, then what I need to do is take space for myself. So that means maybe I shouldn't be dating right now because I don't need another crappy guy just to like take advantage of me and like come in and out of my life because he sees opportunity there. Right. Mm-hmm. Because like my brother told me years ago, he was like, cause he's younger than me, but I was 34 when I got divorced. My brother said, yeah, well, guys like us, we can read you like a book and we know exactly what to say to you. You know, we know your life is stressful. We know exactly what to say to you. And I'm not saying anything against guys. I'm just saying he brought that to my awareness. I didn't listen, by the way. I didn't listen to him, but I should have, right? Yeah. Because listen, if I'm in that disempowered state, I need to close my circle in. That means like, I need to close my circle in. It means I need to not be distracted by things outside of this very inner circle. And this is so important. And hear me, because everything you create from a disempowered state is going to be stressful. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be uncertain. And it's almost like that when it's almost that feeling of it's not almost that feeling is that feeling of being completely stuck.
Yeah.
All right. So when you say, how do I talk to these single moms? And yeah, a lot of them are probably younger than me because I'm in my 40s now. And so it's like easier for me in my fourth decade of life to look at the younger generation and say, here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. But seriously, here's what you need to do. When you're feeling that, like, I'm working two jobs, I've got two kids, I got to think about rent. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You close your circle in, you take space for yourself. Whatever that looks like. If that looks like you shut your bedroom door for 90 minutes and you light some candles and listen to some music, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then the moment, I was just finished this thought. The moment that you start feeling yourself going from a 7 to an 8 to a 9 to a 10 to 11, 12, when you start getting to a 12, then that's when your ideas are going to start coming to you. And you need to pay attention to that, because when you close your circle in and you take space for yourself, what you're doing is you're allowing another power to start directing you. You're allowing your like inner subconscious to start directing what you should do. And when you start listening to that, and then you go up 13, 14, boom, now it's time to start creating. Because what you create from that empowerment state is, like I said, going to show up stronger, faster, better.
I love that. And that is amazing. That applies for both men and women, in my opinion, as well, too, because, like, I really want to touch on quickly on your thought of, like, you know, the men's part of it, because, like, the men, like, I agree with you. Like, you can swear on this podcast too, by the way, but I think it's bullshit, because, like, it's bullshit in a sense, like, you know, men are fucking assholes that they know what to say to, like, I personally have friends like this, single moms, right? So, like, that's why I feel for this, you know, for this topic right now, because, like, it just pisses me off how, like, you know, men know what to say, what to do, but they still choose. It's like as if, like, it's hard to describe it. It's like, why would you continue to do that when you know you're probably not going to commit? And it just frustrates me, because I see men in almost a broken way today, and I really am personally on this journey myself and changing that for myself and other men as well too. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. So here's the thing, like, I love to study the masculine and the feminine.
Yes.
And these are things, like, I wish I was having a conversation like this when I was your age, because if I would have understood certain things 20 years ago, I'd be in a completely different place right now. But like we said, it's a journey, right? It's a path, and things come to you when they're supposed to. So, like, as I'm talking to men and women, the thing is, like, we're in this paradigm shifting of, we have what is our natural instincts. Males are masculine and they have masculine instincts. Okay. But in some ways it's being like, environment is not supporting those natural instincts.
Heck yeah.
So I can hear this in your voice that you are a protector. You are in your true masculine state of being a protector provider. All right. So you could read the literature on this all day long. It's going to support what I'm saying, that men actually have an instinct to protect and provide for the feminine.
Yeah. It's so true, because, like, that even touches base on the human instincts as well too. I read up a lot on this, where in the modern context, our usual instincts over fear, for example, if we want to start that business, most people are afraid to start that business, but they're afraid to do it because, like, they know that their natural human instincts want to keep them safe. If you're feeling uncomfortable, you're going to go back to something that you're content with. And it's so interesting and fascinating, and you're right. Like, for me personally, like, you read me like a book there. It's funny because, like, we don't have video on, but it's funny how that works. But yeah, I agree with you. And for me, like, it's about redefining what it means to be a man in masculine and both feminine and vulnerable, and looking at that, and what does it mean to be this, right? Because, like, I see a lot of women do close themselves off because, like, of that bad, you know, that bad man, that you know, the men in their life, those assholes that comes through and everything like that. And there's not enough people, in my opinion, that aren't, like, they're not voicing out, like, hey, like, have you guys ever thought that men are the problem? You know, women aren't the problem. Maybe men are.
No, it's not that simple. So let's talk about women. Okay. So women get hurt, and this goes right back to alignment we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So women will say, I have a pattern of attracting unavailable men. So this is just like what you were talking about with these guys who, like, won't commit, right?
Yeah.
It's like, he says one thing, but his actions don't match, right? Yeah. Well, typically we see that early on, but we keep trying. Like, would you agree?
Yeah.
Like, women, it's pretty obvious when this is happening to a woman, but, like, we feel something, so we're already invested because our oxytocin is already going through the roof. So we feel bonded to this person, even though this person does not reciprocate this. Well, what I realized was, because women also will do this, and I've done this, and this is, like, my story. So I'm not trying to say any other woman is like me, but I have to tell you that I hear enough of them tell me exactly the same story. So it's like, I'll say I've attracted this unavailable man, but we know we attract what we are, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We attract in our life what we are. If I'm feeling at a 7, I'm going to attract a 7 in all of my circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm feeling at a 17, I'm going to attract at a 17. So take your pick. Wait till you feel good and then create the relationship. But let me go back to what I was going to say. So I realized we attract what we are, but I did not want to accept and own the fact that I was actually unavailable. Because as the woman, a lot of times we see and we interpret our behaviors as the one who are giving everything. Like, I'm giving my time, I'm doing this, like, I'm always making myself available. And I could easily run down the list of all the stuff I quote unquote do for him. Okay. And then And then you hear the women talking like this, and it almost becomes exhausting. Like, gosh, she's so great, and she does all this for him, and he's like this jerk who doesn't appreciate any of it. But the truth is, because it really got to go back, you know, trauma creates layers. Like one of my people that I read about, he says trauma creates these layers of skin around your heart and around your body, right? Mm. And so every time you get hurt, it's another layer. It's another layer. So even though my actions might show that I'm the one who's available and I'm the one who's doing everything, the truth is that in my posture, I have created an energetic posture of being unavailable. Because why? Because I'm protecting my heart. I'm protecting my heart because I've been hurt, and I've been hurt deeply. And so my actions, again, alignment, my actions are like showing this guy that I'm doing everything I can to support this relationship. But my inner feelings are manifesting out of fear and out of actually protecting myself. And you can't actually be protecting yourself and be emotionally available at the same time.
Mm. I love that. And you're right. Wow. That just blows my mind. That's crazy, Mary. Holy.
That was like 42 years it took me to figure that one out. But like, and I know it's hard to wrap your mind around it, because again, as women, we, and I don't want to speak for all women, but I have felt taken advantage of. Like I have felt like, wow, I was just misled and this guy just ripped my heart out. Boom. There goes another skin. Then I'm protecting my heart. But like we are human animals, and we read each other's body language. Do you ever see a woman and like you just can read her? Just like just me listening to you, I could read you. Like we can all do that. We just don't necessarily recognize it because we haven't been taught to do that anymore, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And it's true too. Like, you know, same thing with men as well too. Like you can tell, like, you know, with the men, and you can read them as well too. And you can tell like what's going on. Men's, I know that. It's such an interesting dynamic. That's why I really wanted to ask your opinion on that, because like right up before we started the interview, you asked how old I was, and you said like, you know, you're very fascinated about the millennials and everything, right? So it's like it's quite interesting, because like it's such a common thing from what I see, where because like we saw our parents go through like a certain kind of lifestyle, we almost don't want to repeat it. And so I also want to get your thoughts in terms of in business wise. How does one figure out, I guess, like my question is like, how do you figure out the direction from here on out when you're at a 17 and you're about to align everything? And what does that look like? What do you do afterwards when you're a 17?
That's a great question. So one of the things is when you're on that sort of higher frequency levels and you're feeling really great and everything's very vibrant, mm-hmm. the tendency is you can start to get pulled in a lot of different directions. And I'm sorry, just like started pouring down rain. So your audience is probably going to hear that thunderstorm.
I heard that. That sounds kind of cool though. I like it.
Maybe we'll get like a really loud crack in the sky. So what I do is I really keep, I use what I call the core four. And the core four means I am focused on these four core areas of my business right now. Because what can happen is you can start getting pulled in so many different directions. And I'm sure like as a podcaster, this has happened to you, where you start get opportunities like all around you. And the thing is, if you try to pursue every one of those opportunities, you really won't pursue anything, because you'll just end up overwhelmed. And this is different than like a goal, because a goal is like, oh, I want to have X amount of dollars or revenue, or, you know, I want to have X amount of employees, or that's a goal. A focus just is, this is what I did. Like in 2 years from now, where do I want to be? Answer the question. What are the four main areas that will support me getting to that goal? Mm. And then write those down, whether it's sales, whether it's foundational stuff. You know, like if you don't have like a blueprint for yourself, that might be what your core focus needs to be. It's going to be different for everyone. And this allows you to have all of your energy going through these four things only. And then once you find that your energy is sort of getting pulled outside of there because there was some bright, shiny object that you felt like chasing, then if it's not through the filter of the core four, you need to raise a yellow flag.
Mm. I really love that. I truly do. That's definitely like, you know, that's definitely a wonderful place to take a look at in terms of, you know, just to going out and starting a business and everything as well too. I'm curious to also know that how do you maintain, because like, how do you maintain I guess you kind of answered it with the space and everything, but how do you maintain, like, in terms of like your business and everything, in terms of, for me, I really believe, for example, at the gym, showing up every single day, you and I both know that motivation does fade from time to time. You get this certain high, and then there are days you don't want to do anything whatsoever, right? But for me, I firmly believe is showing up every single day creates a habit for you to go and build towards your goal, right? Are these things required if you're starting out, let's just say, in business? What are the kind of prerequisites, per se?
I think mindset, and I know this is a little bit different than the direction you were going because it's not necessarily about a daily practice, but I mean, that's a given. If you want to make a success of yourself, the more work you put into it, the more work you're going to get out of it. But like, mindset is everything. So if I could talk for a moment about what the type of mindset you would need to have, especially if you're trying to move from, say, having a corporate job or a corporate lifestyle to having a more self-employed or entrepreneurial lifestyle.
Yeah.
The first thing is, you don't want to over-romanticize what being an entrepreneur looks like.
Yes.
Because I think that people get this fantasy in their head that, like, being an entrepreneur means you're going to have, like, a fancy car and a nice house and a swimming pool, when it's not what it looks like at all. Which leads me to my next point of, you have to understand the difference between a need and a want, because this is so important. The easiest way for me to say this is, I might need a car and I might want a Mercedes-Benz. But if I get that Mercedes-Benz because I'm having a good year in business, when you're an entrepreneur and you're out on your own, you don't necessarily get higher income every year. You don't necessarily, like, your revenue is not going to grow. It's going to be much more like a roller coaster. Whereas if you're having a corporate lifestyle, you can count on that raise, you can count on that Christmas bonus or whatever you're going to get. Yeah. But when you're an entrepreneur, it just does not work that way. And one of the reasons I see people go out of business, like, I don't remember the statistics, but the statistics that someone's going to go out of business within 7 years is something like 80 or 90%, probably closer to 90%. I've been around for 20 years. One of the reasons I've been able to do that is that I live within my means, and I even live lower than my means. So that way, if I have a bad year next year, I'll be okay because I have not overextended myself.
I love that. And to me, that also keeps you humble as well, too. You find value and humility in that as well, too.
It's so true, because, you know, you get to my age and all of a sudden things are nothing but baggage. It's like, I think the younger generation knows this already, but see, I didn't, because I grew up in the 80s and it was all about having cool shit, right? And now all that cool shit is just like, it's like stuff in my basement that I literally walk around feeling like I'm carrying around 150 pounds of weight on me because all of this stuff that happened that's in my basement. Well, what happened was, like, 2 months ago, my basement flooded. I live in the Midwest, so it's common for people to have basements that they use for storage. Well, mine flooded and everything in the basement was ruined. And I was so thrilled. Like, everybody was like, oh, that sucks, man. And I was like, no, it was awesome. Because you know why? Because a big truck came and took all that stuff away. And I was so happy because all of that stuff, it's like an energy mental drain. So my next thing would be, like, pay attention to experience more than things.
True. It's crazy. It's crazy because, like, you're, it was something that I did 2 years ago when I was working a corporate 9-to-5 job, and I saw a lot of my peers working towards that goal of buying a house, getting married, $50,000 wedding. They want to get that nice fancy car, and I'm from Toronto as well too, Toronto. So like, people around me was always focused on these kind of things. And for me, for whatever reason, I had this inclination after this traumatic experience with the abortion, with the held at gunpoint, and a series of Murphy's Law, that a bunch of events happened to me, where I sat there to myself and I thought to myself, like, why do I need all this? Like, I don't need to go after these things for what? Because I'd rather, at the end of the day, when I die, I'm just going to be, this was me on the gunpoint thing where I thought I was going to be on the news for like a week and that was it. And the world just continues on. And I never really amounted to anything of leaving a legacy behind in my life. And that really freaked the crap out of me because... And after realizing that and stewing in that feeling, I left my corporate 9-to-5 job, sold everything, and moved to Thailand for a period of time as I'm building this podcast with no idea of what's going to happen. And like you said, like it's all about the experiences that you experience that is more fulfilling. And as you shed away your things, you feel so much better because it's not about mounting like, and gathering things and material things. It's all about what kind of connections you build with people and the experiences you have.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Connection. I have this tagline that I say all the time, which is like everything you say, everything you do, every word that comes out of your mouth, every action you take, every choice that you make is either creating a deeper connection or driving a disconnection. And I think that that's so true, that what we need to value the most and what needs to be the highest priority in our life is connections. Like, what are our connections to the other people in our world? What are the connections to, what are our connections to our career, to our finances, to our wellness, like to our dreams, to our hopes, to our past? I mean, that was just such a beautiful thing that you said.
And it's true. And it's the people that really remembers you. Like, I really enjoyed this conversation. You and I just met. But the thing is, like, I feel like we get each other so much. So, right. I'm curious to know, Mary, who influenced you or who's their biggest influence?
You know, influence is another interesting thing because that changes as you get older. So when I was super young, I would definitely say it was Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And I still love Tony Robbins to this day. I'm taking my son to see him in July in Chicago, and I'm really excited about it. But now it's a bit different. Like, I love listening to people talking about vulnerability, like Brené Brown. I also love Gary Vee. There's just something about Gary Vaynerchuk that, you know why? Because he's like, the stuff he's saying is absolutely on point. There's nothing I've ever heard him say. Not that I've heard everything he said, but when I hear him talk to people, it's like, yeah, he's right. He's willing to tell the truth.
I love that.
He's not trying to paint a picture. And this is the same for me, because if I asked you, like, here's this part of my book, there's a chapter called Becoming Who You Really Are. And whenever somebody else resonates with you, like where I'm saying, like, I really admire Gary Vee because he's like raw and authentic, that means that I'm also raw and authentic. And that's the reason why I like him so much. That's the reason why I resonate with him. And a lot of times when I'm on a show, I'll ask the host, like, if you could be any superhero, who would you be?
Are you asking me that right now?
Yeah. Sorry. Being on the spot.
No. You know, I would be Batman. Superhero.
Batman. So that's a really awesome answer. What do you admire about Batman?
You know, the tenacity of this man, where he doesn't have any superpowers per se, right? But he still stands on point among Titans. That to me represents me at its core level, because I too am like from a first generation immigrant family, still processing and figuring out my way, but really figuring out who I am, because I'm not trying to be a Gary Vee. I'm not trying to be a Tony Robbins here. I'm going to figure out what is Paul Am all about. And I ask myself this kind of question over and over all the time, where who am I? Who am I in its core?
See, and I love it, because there's a big difference between Batman and Superman. You know, yes. It's like, there is, but I would say to you that whatever you admire about Batman, I promise you, is true about yourself. That's who you are, your inner core. And the more that you let, like, I'll say it this way, if you let Batman be in charge, you will move mountains in your life. Because what happens is we repress that part of ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, we repress that. And we get stuck, and we don't want to let that person be the one in charge. And we really should, because you let that tenacity be in charge, and what can you accomplish? And that's, you know, we were talking about single moms and that kind of thing. What if that single mom, and you ask her and she says Wonder Woman? Well, what if she put Wonder Woman in charge?
Yeah. And that's so true.
It makes a huge difference. Like the way that we see ourselves is so very important. And also like the stories we tell, because when we're constantly like repeating our disempowering stories in life, and I'm not to say that like you shouldn't tell your story about being held at gunpoint. I was also attacked, and I know what was going through your mind, because when it happened to me, all I kept thinking was like, I'm never going to see my mother and my sons again.
Yeah.
Like that was the only thought. I didn't have any other thought. That was the only one. And it humbles you. Like I don't even know the words to describe it, but it must have this impact on you, right? Because you're not going to see life through the same lens anymore. But if you let that run you to the point where you become a victim, because the stories that we repeat and we tell about ourselves, especially if we're using our story to bond with someone, then that story becomes our identity. And that's when trauma has you. That's when you become a victim.
That was so beautiful. I love that. Who's your favorite superhero? I'm just curious.
Well, favorite and who is like I choose for myself are two different things.
Because well, I'm like,
I have this. Mine was a cross between Jessica Rabbit and Scarlett O'Hara.
Ooh, I dig it. I like it. That's awesome. You know, I love this conversation because, like I said, like I'm glad there are entrepreneurs like yourself out there, because like I see a lot of millennials nowadays where they throw around entrepreneur as if like it's a belt or Louis Vuitton belt, and that feeling of like they're saying they're an entrepreneur just because they're trying something. It's not all about that, right? It's all about, and they're trying to mimic other people. That's the frustrating part. I find it really frustrating personally myself, because like I said, I'm not trying to, it took me a long time. Well, 2 years, like up to like last year, for me to realize that I was trying to, the reason why things aren't working for me is because I was trying to mimic Tony Robbins. I was trying to mimic Pat Flynn. He's my favorite podcaster, Lewis Howes. And I'm not them, right? For me, I find myself,
that's brilliant.
Yeah. Like I find myself looking at people who really look up to is wondering these legends like Bruce Lee and you know, Muhammad Ali, how are they legends? Dr. Martin Luther King. How are they legends today? Even today, when they're long gone, right? They were just themselves down to the core.
Right. Which is, yeah. So I love what you say, because I've written several articles, and when I'm talking about entrepreneurial leadership or even spiritual leadership, like authenticity is everything, because what I find is people thinking that leadership means something like what do they post on their Instagram? And it's such crap, because like, that doesn't matter.
Yes.
Your image doesn't matter. What matters is how are you working to move the human race forward?
Yes.
How are you doing that? Are you humanitarian plus or are you humanitarian minus? Are you looking at the people around you like they're competitors, or are you looking at them as collaborators? That moves things forward. And lastly, it's like your leadership, your impact, your legacy should be based on the impact you make on the world, and that's it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And there's always this saying that I want to leave off with, where it's like, you know, you either stand for something or you stand for nothing kind of deal. It's just, it's crazy. I love that. Mary, I wanted to be really respectful of your time. I know we're running up on close to six on my time over here. I just wanted to ask you about, you know, three more questions, and then we're going to wrap things up. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
But before we get into that, I wanted to just allow some time, but just to say that, you know, thank you so much, like I said, Mary, for doing what you do. The work that you do really does impact people's lives. I'm thankful and grateful that I get to speak to you, and happy to hear that you're sharing your story to impact people's lives in a positive way. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
And for those path hunters who wants to, you know, find you online, stalk you online or anything like that, where can they find you?
Well, I'm super easy to find all over any social media. My name is Mary, M-A-R-Y, Shores, S-H-O-R-E-S. I am happy to connect on LinkedIn or on Facebook. I have a page, obviously, but I don't know that those pages are effective anymore. But I do have a Facebook group. It's called Fearless Ambition.
Okay.
And I interact in that group every single day. If anyone wants to buy that or wants to sign up for that, you don't have to buy anything. Mm-hmm. But one thing I always ask ask on shows, if you were like resonating with what I'm saying today, then my biggest ask is for you to please go on Amazon or wherever you buy books, check out the book Conscious Communications, and just read the description and a handful of reviews. You will know right away whether this book is for you or not.
I love that. Awesome. You know, so this show is called the Path Hunters Podcast. And if, and you know, what, you know, when you hear the term Path Hunters, what comes to mind?
It sounds like a TV show.
This is the first time this one ever said it sounds like a TV show. What kind of TV show?
Well, I know there's a TV show called The House Hunters, because whenever I go to the dentist, it's like they have it running on autoplay or something.
They have like season one on DVD on there for you.
That's funny. I have no idea. But it sounds like a great reality show.
Who knows? One of these days it could be. That sounds like a wonderful idea. So imagine this. Imagine that you're in a busy street with people walking by, and I'm going to paint you this picture. People walking by and they're looking on their phones and everything, but you have a cardboard sign that you're able to write one message or advice to impact all these people's lives in a positive way. What kind of message or advice would this be and why?
I would say hashtag get woke.
I love that. Why?
And no one would see it because they're all looking at their phone. Well, because that's the thing. We're all waking up. Like we're in this time period. And I know that one of the things we were talking about in our little pre-show chat was like going through this life where, you know, my sort of expectation when I was a child is that I would grow up, I would go to college, I'd be married by the time I was 26, I'd have a college degree, get a job, buy a house, have children, you know, and then it kind of takes the backward slide of get the divorce, have your breakdown, file bankruptcy, and start over. And the thing is, it just doesn't need to be that way.
Yes.
All we have to do is wake up.
I love that. Mary, honestly, thank you so much for jumping on. I wish we had more time. I could talk to you about these kind of topics forever and ever, because like it's just so fascinating. And thank you for jumping on here to share your knowledge and wisdom. I appreciate you so much. And maybe we can bring you on in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Well, have yourself a great one, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
Guys, that was Mary Shores in the house. Mary, thank you so much for just jumping onto the podcast here today. It just means a lot to me that you did that. And I hope you guys all learned something amazing and got some golden nuggets out of this episode as well, too. If you guys ever want to reach me, paul@pathhunters.com, send me an email, say hi, tell me how these episodes have inspired you. Also, as well, too, if you guys ever want to just reach out, even just like anything like that, on like just, you know, tag me or anything on Instagram, paul@pathhunters.com. I'm right here for you. And if you guys feel inclined to give me a review on iTunes, it really does help with the show and everything like that and the rankings. Just give me an honest review. Honestly, it would mean the world to me. Thank you so much. And guys, like, thank you so much. And I hope you guys, you know, find value out of this, use it, integrate this into your life, and be awesome. You guys can do it. Path Hunters for sure. And this is going to keep going. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Have yourself a great one. Take care. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Remember to subscribe, share, and review. Thank you for taking the time for listening to this podcast. You can always find me at pathhunters.com. Stay awesome and know that you can become a path hunter today.